Amen. Would you sit down, please? And Beth is going to read our first lesson.
The reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 60, beginning at verse 1, and you'll find it on page 602 of the Pew Bibles. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look round. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We stand to hear the gospel read. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we have observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." And when King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him, and calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophets, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went a star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. And then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Father, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be what you would have of us, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Would you sit down, please? So, where is the child? And where can he be found so many days after Christmas? Where will he be sought? Who will seek him? Because who will seek him will define who we are. We don't know where they came from. We don't know how many of them there were. We don't know their names. And they only show up in Epiphany when the sky is grayer and the winds are icier and the financial cost of Christmas has dropped elegantly but quite firmly on our doormats. You might know, do you? I'm sure you do, T.S. Eliot's Journey of the Magi. Much of his poem was culled, at least the opening few lines of that poem, were culled from a sermon by the great preaching bishop, Lancelot Andrews. And it's Lancelot Andrews that I quote, and it'll resonate quite clearly. with that T.S. Eliot Journey of the Magi. Because Lancelot Andrews preached his sermon, it began like this: a cold coming they had of it at this time of the year, just the worst time of the year to take a journey, and especially a long journey. The way is deep, the weather sharp, the day short, the sun farthest off, the very dead of winter. And of course, to cap it all, when we least expect them, for they are an intrusion, aren't they? But when we least expect them, like London buses, not one but three wise men turn up from the east at the same time. But if the truth be known, it is this gospel reading and this season that defines the meaning and the purpose and the place of the whole church. What we are about is defined by these strangers who pitch up at a stable. So no wonder, in one sense, and it's disheartening as in another, no wonder Epiphany gets kind of kicked into the long grass, a kind of appendix to Christmas, a kind of irritating add-on to be got over, but not gone through. No wonder we seem to find it's so difficult just how we're going to respond to these strangers whose disappearance from the record of Scripture seems as mysterious as their entry onto the gospel stage. And like the appearance of so many strangers, so many outsiders in the gospel, they seem to ask and beg more questions than they answer. Most notably, where is the child? Where is the manger? Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? But maybe their questions are an irritant to us as well. Maybe their intrusion questions us as well. So just who do you think you are, you wise men, Persians? You Zoroastrians from like Freddie Mercury bowing at the feet of the Christ child, just who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? It was enough of a question to set the wrong sort of blood, of course, coursing through Herod's veins. And with whatever blood left in him draining from his face, he ingratiatingly, yet deviously, the usual defense mechanisms, you understand, ask the Magi for help. So why don't you go and search diligently for the child? When you found him, you bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage. The word you might be looking for is obsequious, because they are very odd figures indeed. And at first glance, either we wouldn't give them reading space, or if we did, we might be tempted to regard them as oddities, because that is actually what they are. They are odd. And what they were tracking in the heavens and their final destination, and even or especially their gifts, must all have looked singularly kind of out of place. For they were indeed looking for a king, but surely not the sort of king that booed and cooed back at them from a stall as they knelt before him. But I guess the church has always struggled, hasn't it, with strangers, with outsiders, with people and things and ideas that are contrary to our expectations, which sit uncomfortably with those expectations. And maybe with us, perhaps. In many ways, they represent a kind of clear and present danger, a threat. Someone will have to give way in this story, make room for them, but we do pray that it won't be us. And yet here, at the outset of his gospel, Matthew dares to record in great detail an intrusion and an interruption which in so many ways would set on edge the teeth of faithful Jewish readers and listeners to his gospel. So why does Matthew kick off his gospel in the way that he does? Well, quite clearly, Matthew's is a gospel for the Gentiles, a gospel for the whoevers, a gospel for the wherevers, wherever they've come from, however they've pitched up to ask that irritating question, where can I find this child? Where can I find this child? Would he be found among us? Would he be found here? Will this church be a manger in which can be found for those who seek him, a saviour, who is Christ the Lord? Where will he be found? And on whose terms will he be sought and worshipped? Who has the power to prevent that exploration? Who has the power to push back the boundaries and the barriers which might prevent that exploration in order to keep our space sacred and apart? So in many ways, Matthew's is of course a contentious gospel, because if it is a gospel for those who don't yet belong, he's going to be searching for the odd and the contrary. And that will shape the meaning and the purpose of his gospel. But Epiphany defines and shapes the church, our church. From start to finish, Matthew's will be a gospel full of generosity. And that can be very, very annoying, generosity. Especially if generosity is about me allowing you to scratch my back when I scratch yours. It can all be very annoying if, like our use of Waze and TomTom and SatNavs, ours are the only inviolable ways and means of arriving at a destination. They may be ours. They may not be somebody else's. Outsiders and strangers. If their journey is going to be taken with the utmost seriousness by Matthew, then maybe we need to take that whole Epiphany journey very seriously indeed, that procession that people embark on when they seek the living God. After all, the route that the wise men took was somewhat unconventional, wasn't it? Some might even dare to say it was inappropriate. It doesn't fit with our way of doing things. It began by staring into space and wondering and consulting oracles and all that paraphernalia. And what are and will be the ways and means by which our neighbours in this parish, beyond it, connect with and seek the Lord Jesus and worship him alone and bring the very best that they have to offer, let alone us, to the feet of the Master? How can we make clear, unfettered connections that enable others to approach faith and which in turn leads to their journey being taken very seriously, their pathways, which God willing will lead to worship? And if strangers, if the oddballs do manage to get that far, if they cross the threshold of our church, what will we expect of them? Come to that. What will they expect of us? I have the utmost admiration for anyone who in the current cultural climate will walk through the door of this church, who hasn't done so for a long time, if ever at all. So just imagine for a minute your Muslim neighbour inviting you to their place of worship and you crossing their threshold for the first time. How would you feel? What would you expect? Get under the skin for a minute. Get under their skin. Get under the oddball skin. Get under the stranger skin for a minute. And yet, with the utmost courtesy, Matthew records their joy at finding a place where their gifts could be presented without any sense of judgment or caution. We don't do things like that here. A place where their presence, let alone their worship, could be taken with all the seriousness that their journey deserves. The wise men, Matthew records, left for their own country by another road. Jesus was sought, and gifts and worship were offered, and they left by another route. And Matthew's gospel too will lead you through his gospel by another route. We assume they arrived back at the place that the journey began. But in this brief encounter that Matthew records for us of the Magi with the Lord Jesus Christ, they've reminded us finally, and Matthew is at pains to pepper his gospel with very precarious encounters. These strangers have reminded us that the gospel which at its beginning invited in these wise men, the whole world, to gather around the Christ child at the stable, concludes with a challenge in Matthew 28. The whole world has come to this child, and the church must in turn go out into the whole world. Go therefore, Matthew 28, go therefore out to the strangers, to those who are different, to those who are odd, and make disciples of all nations. You see, I think for me personally, if Epiphany teaches me anything, if it teaches us anything at all, and it teaches us so much, then it's this, that if we properly got under the skin of this encounter of wise men from the East with the Christ child, then you know what, maybe that there is seldom a lot wrong, is there, with a church which, however eccentrically, is seeking just one stranger in 100. Where is the child to be found? And will he be found among us and within you? As we sit, let us pray. Father God, we thank you that the witness of these wise men is a witness to us too. And we pray, Father, that like them, we too may seek you and in seeking you find you and find great joy in worshipping you. But also, Father, have imaginations and hearts and doors that are open wide enough to allow those who don't know you to find their place among us. To the glory of your name and for the building of your kingdom, we pray. Amen.